Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today. I'm George Kurtz. I'm in with Joe Galina, the Fantasy Jesus. We're covering for Dan Stravitt and Mike Blewett. I think Dan has got a draft today in one of those leagues. I believe that's why he's not here. Mike Blewett is in South Carolina. At least I think that's where Charleston is. That's where he went. So if you want to bother Mike, go to South Carolina and Charleston. You can bother Mike. And we're going to be joined. We have a guest, Joe. We have a guest. Chris Mitchell of FanTrax and MotorBikeCrits.com.
I'm tired of talking just to you.
Yeah, I can't stand talking to you either. Gets on my nerves after 3 hours. Chris is also the host of the Mitch Dog Unleashed podcast on Fantrax.com. He can also be found on Twitter at CJMitch73. So, Chris, the Mitch Dog Unleashed podcast, this is finally the name you came up with for this show?
It's what I've come with for now. As you know, I have a hard time coming up with names, which is why my podcast that I was doing before was called A Podcast of Name Later. At first I wanted to call it The Hole, because I'm a jerk and I figured, people would make the connection, but then the bosses upstairs didn't like that idea. They didn't like the insinuations, and so they dismissed that idea. Just calling it the Fantax Fantasy Forum or whatever, I mean, it made sense. It told you what it was, but it was kind of boring. And so one of my guys that was working with me to try to put together the sound and the look of it and everything, he just decided, you've got the personality of it. He said, I have personality, which I don't know if I agree with him, but he said, I've got a personality that maybe we should emphasize. And rather than just put my name on it, because it said the Chris Mitchell podcast, and then everyone's like, who the hell is Chris Mitchell? So I figured the Mitch Dog at least gave me a little bit of snark to it, and people do call me that. Some of my friends, my high school buddy used to call me the Short Dog, based on a rapper back in the day. So I figured, what the heck, we'll go with that for now, and we'll see how it goes. And if we come up with a good name along the way, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to change it.
Well, I think from someone who's been on that podcast quite a few times, I think the podcast that never ends is really just a was a apropos name. It was really right on target. I kid, but all right, Chris. Now, for those who don't know, Chris is out of the Boston area, so I'm going to ask this question not because he's out of Boston, but because, well, I'm curious. He'll know he'll have a better answer than what the rest of us can give you. Chris, what the hell is going on in the Red Sox closer situation?
You made me look good by saying that I will know better, but to be honest with you, there's no news out here that would suggest either way what guy it's going to be. I think most people believe that Matt Barnes has the best raw stuff, so most people assume that he's going to be the closer. It seems pretty clear at this point that the Red Sox held out on J.D. Martinez for a long time last year, and then finally everyone knew that they were going to get him, and eventually they signed that deal. Some people were of the belief that that's what they're doing with Kimbrel, but all the way to March 16th, it looks like the Red Sox saying that they weren't signing Kimbrel isn't just a smokescreen. It looks like that's true. It looks like they are not waiting him out to the last minute, that money and luxury tax issues, they are not going to sign Kimbrel. That's what it absolutely looks like. Again, if he decides to do a one-year deal or something at a number that's acceptable, maybe the Red Sox do that. I don't know. But it seems pretty clear that Kimbrel wants a multi-year deal and that it's pretty clear the Red Sox do not want him at that, 3 years. Because the Red Sox have a lot of contracts coming up over the next 3 or 4 years. So to then throw on a closer on top of that, I think they made the decision that if it's a one-year deal, okay. Anything beyond that, they can't do it. So it looks like they're doing in-house, and they obviously didn't even try to get any of the free agent relievers that were available, which, again, would have taken a multi-year situation to lock them up, multi-year contracts at money. So they just stayed away from all of those, too. Even like an Andrew Miller, who came at a reasonable discount because of his injury issues last year, they didn't even try to get someone like him. So It looks like Matt Barnes is the guy that everyone thinks, but I actually think that Ryan Brozier is the better guy. He just seems to have the attitude for closer. He doesn't have the stuff that Matt Barnes has. But Matt Barnes is very inconsistent, too. I mean, he doesn't throw a lot of strikes. When he's on, his fastball's right up there with the closer level that you need, you know, mid to upper 90s. And his breaking ball can be really kind of nasty, and that's what you want to see from a closer. But Barnes doesn't seem to have the attitude, the mentality, and there's not a lot of consistency there. So I don't have a lot of belief in Barnes. If you wanted to play it safe, it's probably 60-40 Barnes. But I think it's going to be Ryan Brazier.
Hey, Chris, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me on.
Joe speaking here. All right. So I was reading your article that you wrote for Fantrax about finding the best values within the first five rounds. One of the guys that you know, you have guys that you target and honorable mentions, but a guy that talking about Trevor Story. Now, Trevor Story had a really good year last year, 291 batting average, the 37 home runs, the 27 steals. You know, he knocked down that K rate from 34.4 to 25.6. Has he figured it out? I mean, do you think that any chance for a little bit of regression, that those 27 steals, do you think he approaches that this season?
Yeah, that was a big jump. He had never come anywhere near that previously. I think I mentioned that in the article as well. No, I do think regression is safe with him. And one of the things I believe I wrote in that article is that even with regression, he is still a really good value in the late to mid, you know, late second, mid third, depending on, you know, how many teams are in your league. I do think there's going to be regression. Mm-hmm. Him staying healthy is one thing, and if he's not healthy, he's not going to run as much. So, yes, I do expect some regression in the stolen bases. I think he can hit that many home runs. I mean, he's got that kind of power. He's always had that kind of number. I mean, maybe not 37. I mean, 37, maybe he doesn't get to that number. He can hit 30-plus home runs. But I expect at least 15. That would be cutting his number almost in half from last season. That would definitely be considered regression. And I think that would be considered a lot of regression. But that seems, I think, reasonable. I don't think people should be drafting him thinking you're getting 10. If you're estimating 10, I think you're on the very low end. You're being extremely conservative, which is fine. I'm not against projecting conservatively, and if he falls to you at the number that makes sense, then go for it. So if you want to project conservatively, I think you'll steal 10. I mean, everybody steals 10. Anyone who can run at all steals 10. So I think he'll steal 10. I expect he'll steal 15. He could get up to 20 again. 27 would definitely be a surprise for me, though. So I'm looking at him as a shortstop who everyone thinks he's got all these swing and miss issues, but he did hit 291. I think he can hit at least 30 home runs, and I think he can steal at least 15 bases. So a 30, 15, 290 guy. And let's say he drops in that batting average, too, like you said. Let's say he drops down to 275. Is that really the end of the world? I mean, again, if you assume significant regression, you're still getting a 30 home run batter with 15 steals with a 270 batting average. That would be a lot. That would be a significant drop off from last year. That's still a top five shortstop, and that's still a guy that I would be more than happy to take in the top 30. He's going right around 23, 24. I think that's my last check on Fantasy Pros as well as Fantrax. So that ADP to me is a nice value. That's one of the reasons why I think you should go with Max Scherzer as your first pick in the first round, depending on what pick you have, because I like the idea of getting a Trevor Story as maybe your third pick at the front end of the third round, or if it's a if it's a 12-team league or something, maybe you get him as your second pick in the late 20s. That, to me, he's a good value.
Chris, let's stay on speed for a second. How do you approach speed? Are you drafting players early to cover yourself? Let's say you don't get Trey Turner in the first round. You know, you're not able to grab him. Do you look for speed later on? Are you drafting with Merrifield in the third round? You're looking at D.D. Gordon with Merrifield, Malik Smith. How do you approach speed?
For the most part, I just go into a draft trying to be flexible. And actually, if you read my article that Joe just mentioned, I want to be flexible. So when I put out that article, the argument was Max Scherzer is a heck of a pick at number four because it sets up the rest of your draft. You can do a lot of different things. And I think the most important thing, and this is a strategy that I like to use coming into draft period, is don't force yourself to take something that isn't who you want at any period. So don't go home run heavy at the beginning, because if there's a home run heavy guy later in the draft, you can't take him because you're light on steals or something of that effect. Or don't go all outfield at the beginning, because then you may, they may be outfielders later, but you need a third baseman. So I try to remain as flexible as possible. And because of that, one of the things I like to do is I like those guys that do a little bit of everything. Now, granted, you might get 50 home runs from Giancarlo Stanton, or who knows, maybe Bryce Harper has another over 40 year. And I like those guys. But I prefer the guys like the Trevor Stories, who hit 25 home runs but also steal 15 bases. And so for the most part, as a strategy, I like to take those balanced guys. Now, there are some guys that I like to look at later, like a Jonathan Villar in Baltimore. He's a late-round pick who I think is going to play a lot. I think he's going to be the full-time guy. But even if he only plays 70% of the time, or something happens, or he plays poorly and loses the full-time position there, he's going to steal, I think, 30 bases at least. And if he really, in Baltimore, there's not a lot of incentive not to let him run crazy. So it wouldn't shock me if he went 40, 45 steals. He's a guy later in drafts that I like, plays in multiple positions, and he can actually hit for a little bit of power as well. But at least in the early rounds, especially the top five rounds, I'm not specifically targeting any one thing. I want to leave my draft as flexible as possible so that if Chris Bryant falls to me with my third pick, I can go with him rather than being forced to take, like you said, a Whit Merrifield or someone like that. I don't want to be forced because I started poorly. That's one of the reasons why I don't like Nolan Arenado or J.D. Martinez in the first round at 4 or 5, and why I argued for Max Scherzer at 4 is because while they're awesome and the batting average is extremely nice, especially in the case of Martinez, so those are great players, no doubt about it, but they don't provide any steals at all. So when it comes later on in the draft, like you're saying, if you come to the third round, if Chris Bryant is there, he's a steal, or late, beginning of the third, something like that. If he's there, he's a steal. But if you went with J.D. Arenado with your first pick, and then like Aaron Judge fell to you in the second one, you really kind of you're almost punting steals right off the bat. If you then go with Chris Bryant, I mean, you still have a great team. You drafted all the best values, but you kind of screwed yourself in that way. And so finding a VR or taking a real home run on a Billy Hamilton, I mean, do you want to have him on your? I wouldn't mind having him on my roster, but if he's going to be one of my 5 starting outfielders and my key guy for stolen bases because I didn't get anybody else, to me, that's not a great strategy. So I try to go with the guys that provide a little bit of everything. So I like Javier Baez. I like Trevor Story. As I said, VR later in the draft, he can actually hit for a little bit of pop. So I try to be balanced all the way through if I can. And I, at all costs, unless I absolutely have to, I don't force a pick, like you were saying, force myself to take Merrifield, who I actually think is going to regress this year as well.
So based on Joey Votto's NFBC ADP, he's going in somewhere around the 6th round in 12-team drafts. Should we be concerned at this stage? I mean, I usually don't throw much credence into spring training numbers, but batting 111, the good news is he's still walking a ton. He's got a 448 on base percentage. But based on the big-time regression that we saw last season where he only hit 12 home runs, batted 284, now he's batting 111 to start the spring. Are you concerned about Joey Votto, or would you take a chance on him?
For me, he's one of those guys where the format really makes a big difference. If you're in an OBP league, the guy's still a monster. So it doesn't really concern me there. But yes, I'm a little concerned. I was a little concerned last year. He's still a good hitter. I don't know, but in spring training, like you said, every single individual reason why you shouldn't be concerned, you don't just throw away a guy's career because he had one bad season. You don't throw away the guy for the season because he had one bad spring training. But when you combine all of those factors together, yes, I am a little bit concerned. I'm not a big Votto guy, so I've never really owned him in a lot of leagues. OBP, he's falling. So in an OBP league, I would still feel good about it because he's a complete and total, anomaly in that format. But I'm hesitant. I mean, you're looking at guys like Ozzie Albies, a guy who hits for home runs and for speed. I'm not a huge Albies guy because he did have his struggles last year, just like Votto did. But I'd rather take a chance on an Albies than a Votto at the same basic situation, right around there. And actually, Gary Sanchez, and I can't believe I'm saying this, George can testify, I despise catchers with a passion, and I dislike Yankees at the very least, and sometimes I downright hate them as well. But with him at 58, it kind of stuns me that we're seeing Realmuto going ahead of him, I think, in a lot of leagues. And, I mean, if he was a first baseman / DH, I think he could hit 40-plus home runs. I don't know if he could be an MVP, But I like Sanchez there too. So where Votto's going at 54 isn't bad in an OBP league because he's such a monster. But there are a lot of guys in that range. Gene Segura, again, at 63, for example. I like him a lot as well, a guy that it doesn't seem like a lot of people really have a lot of respect for him. So I can't see taking Votto that high. Even if he was ripping the ball, I'd still be reluctant. But the fact that he's not doing all that great, that just gives me more reason to choose one of the guys that I prefer better in that area. So I'm staying away unless he falls into the 70s or, like I said, OBP league. He's like Billy Hamilton in steals, only Billy Hamilton never actually produced the 60 steals he was supposed to. But in OBP league, then okay, I feel all right with him there because, again, he's just such – he can carry you.
All right, Chris, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. And listen, let us know where we can find you.
The best way to do it is on Twitter, at CJMitch73. You can ask me questions, or I send out links for all my articles and podcasts. I'm on Facebook, too. As you know, the podcast being later group, we talk some baseball from time to time on there, post links to all the different things. My articles appear at least once a week over at Fantrax.com. I don't know. Roto Experts is such an unknown at this point. I don't know when we're going to be writing football again for them, but hopefully I'll end up over there. But just the easiest way to find me is at CJMitch73. And I'll take any of your questions, and I'll post you all my links.
All right. That was Chris Mitchell, everybody. Chris, thank you so much for joining us. We'll have you on again in the future. And, Chris, you have a good
Thanks,
luck
guys.
In your draft
season,
except on Tuesday. I'm actually drafting against Chris on Tuesday, so no good luck for him on Tuesday as I play in the league with him. This is Fantasy Sports Today. I'm George Kurtz. He's Joe Galina. We're filling in for Dan Stratford and Mike Blewett. Short angle behind the glass, and we'll be back for the final 40 minutes right after this.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Yeah, a little Jake Giles band, a little centerfold action. No, with the internet, anybody looking at a centerfold anymore? But this is a great video if you have a chance to look it up. Great song. A lot of hot girls.
Years or a few decades.
Walking around in their lingerie. So check out the video. Jake Giles band. 80s music. Can't beat it there, George.
I agree. I totally agree. I think 80s music is fantastic. It's probably my favorite, 70s as well. I'm stuck on classic rock, but the 80s, you know, Def Leppard, mm-hmm. U2, Van Halen, you know, it's all good.
Yep, absolutely. So good spot with Chris Mitchell, and good luck in your draft against him. Good luck, Chris. And so why don't we just continue breaking down. We were taking a look at the AL Central. Ugly division. Right. You know, once you get past the Indians and the Twins, and the Twins aren't all that interesting. They are based on the moves that they made. But then we were just talking the Tigers. Now you look at the White Sox, who were spurned by Manny Machado. They were 62-100 last year. Their over under total is 74. And when you look at their depth chart, Yoan Moncada. He's scheduled to be their third baseman this year, George, and had previously played second. And we're waiting for is another Uber prospect that just really hasn't delivered yet. 217 strikeouts last season in 149 games. But has the potential to give you some power. 17 home runs last year and 12 stolen bases. So, I mean, he's having a nice spring. And I hate to keep quoting spring numbers, but I'm just looking at them. I mean, he's batting 379 with two home runs, 10 strikeouts in 11 games. So what do you think about Moncada? Do you think that this guy could finally figure it out?
Do I think Moncada could finally figure it out? I mean, he's the was the centerpiece, really, of that trade of Chris Sale to the Red Sox, right? He was that guy, that main guy going back. I mean, Kopech, I understand, but don't kid yourself. It was Moncada who was supposed to be the next big thing, right? The next big thing coming over from Cuba. He was going to be a major player here, and it really hasn't worked out. Not that he's been a bad player, but he certainly hasn't been what they thought he could be. So I think this is his breakout year. He's only 23. He'll be 24 in May.
I know. It seems like he's been playing forever.
So think about that. It does. You're absolutely right. That's another one. You look at it. Wow, that's how old he is? You thought he was older. Last year, I guess we'd say he's his best season to date, and he only batted 235. You know, 17 home runs, 61 RBIs, 12 stolen bases. So he's kind of like that guy we see a lot of. Right, and as far as fantasy is concerned, we like the home runs and stolen bases. You know, maybe he can bring that up a little bit to where he could be a 2015 guy. But man, it comes with a major average hit. That's the problem here. So when I look at him, it all comes down to that average. Do you believe he's going to get hit higher? Hit 231 the year before that. Granted, only on 231 play appearances since he was hurt. He's a middle infield at best for me. You know, I'm not going to take a chance to start him. Certainly not here. I'm interested because you do wonder, is this the year it clicks? And I think that's what we're looking for here. Is this the year it clicks? I do think there's room to grow here. I do. But, Chris, he'll be a low-end middle infielder for me. I'm not going to bank on it. I don't, because even if he clicks, I don't see him being a league winner, which worth me risking it. Because, this kind of guy, if he does click, he's going to win me my league. No, I don't see that. I just think we're going to pay off somewhat. Because even if he clicks, what's he going to bat, 260, 270? Still not really going to help me. And even the home run and stolen base upticks wouldn't be major enough. So I do like the player, but he's a low-end middle infielder, not someone I'd bank on.
Yeah, based on his NFBC ADP, you'd be getting him in the 13th round of a typical 12-team league. Very interesting. I mean, the question that you just said, is he going to win your league? Probably not. I think that the batting average is going to be the issue. But obviously, I mean, he's got to improve on his strikeout total there. Jose Abreu, do you see him bouncing back from last year? He suffered some injuries previous to that and had always hit for average. You could count on him for basically just counting him almost every season for 30 home runs and 100 RBI. Are you confident that Abreu can have a nice bounce back season for you?
Well, he better, because first base is really, it's thin in fantasy. I mean, you look at first base, okay, Freeman, Goldschmidt, Rizzo was a third-round pick, and then it becomes a lot of question marks. Can Bellinger and Votto rebound? Abreu, who's been somewhat solid throughout his career, right? We know the power will be there. Ball flies out of whatever they're calling that ballpark in Chicago. Now it seems to change names too often for me. But the ball flies out of that, especially in the summer when it heats up. All right, so the home runs should be there. The offense seems to be decent here. I know he only had 22 home runs this year. I think he bounces back to – he only played 128 games last year. I think he goes back to 28 to 32, somewhere in that range. Mm-hmm. He was hurt, but still even 22 home runs is a little life. He only missed 34 games, so you know, the home runs should have been better. But I think he bounces back up to being that 28 home runs, 100 RBI guy with a plus average. So that's what I think Abreu is becoming here or is going to do.
Yeah, lifetime 295 batting average there. Anybody on this starting rotation that you like? I mean, penciled in as their number one starter is Carlos Rodon. That's a blast from the past, right?
Another guy we've been waiting for, right? To be that, I don't want to say big-time starter. That's probably not fair. But to be a reliable starter. You know, we've been waiting for him for years now. He another guy can't seem to stay healthy. Ronaldo Lopez coming over from the Nationals, waiting for him. Ivan over, we'll see what happens there. Lucas Giolito also from the Nationals, waiting for him. It seems like they have ex-Nationals and ex-Yankee starters. Right, Ivanova, Manny Benuelos, who was part of the Killer Bees for the Yankees at one time, and none of them worked out, besides Betances. Right. None of them worked out as starters. Giolito, Lopez from the Nationals, and then Rodon. Listen, I'm taking Rodon late. He's the only starter here I'm really taking. I'll take Rodon late, see what happens here. The other guys are more wait and see. Lopez, you want to take him with your last round or two in reserve? I'm fine. Yeah, we're going to take gambles as far as starting pitchers late. But Rodon's the only guy I don't mind taking during my normal part of my draft. In other words, we generally have 23 rounds, 5 rounds of reserves. Round 21, round 22, I may take a shot on Rodon, hoping that this is the year. But once again, he's another guy. I'm not spending valuable capital on him. You know, if I'm spending around 21, 22 pick, he doesn't work out. Okay, he doesn't work out. I'll move on. Not a big deal. I'm expecting to move on for most of those guys anyway. Rodon, same problem. As much as I like Abreu, the ball, because the ball flies out for the offense, it also hurts the pitching staff. His ERA has never been below 4. 4.18, 4.15, 4.04. He's already, banged up a little bit. I think he will start the season with the team. He'll be their ace for whatever that's worth here. But I need to see better numbers here before I trust him to be anywhere near an SP3 for my fantasy team. Right now he's in that SP5, SP6 category with some upside. This will be the year that he makes 28 starts. You know, I'm not gonna plug him in for 32, 33. This is the max pretty much you're going to do here. But I'll take 28 and see what those numbers can become. Maybe he can approach 180 strikeouts, get 12 wins. Yeah, I'm not asking for much here, Joe.
Yeah, fair point. So the rest of this team, I mean, I like Tim Anderson as a guy who could be a potential 2020 guy. You know, let's see him. He's been getting a little bit better about getting on base a little bit more. Had an issue of, you know, just take a walk once in a while there, Tim. But a good 2020 option over at the shortstop. Daniel Palka came out of nowhere, kind of like a 26 years old, took him a while to develop. Not thrilled with him, but in a real deep league, I mean, he hit 27 home runs. I mean, if you're starting five outfielders in a deep league, if you know, just as basically as bench depth as somebody that could, you know, give you 20 plus home run power, you're not going to really love his batting average. But why don't we move over to unless you want to talk about Palka, but talk about their bullpen. Colome, is he going to pencil in as their closer? Does he hold on to that job, or is he one of these guys that you think that maybe by the trade deadline might be shipped out?
Oh, I think Colome or Herrera could both be shipped out by the deadline. Once again, Herrera just signed a decent contract there, but I think they're battling out for the closer job. I wouldn't say Colome or Herrera is the leader right now. I think if you force me to draft one, I had to take one, you know, last round pick, and I just want to take a closer for the hell of it, I probably would take Colome, but, you know, I'm not dead sure that he's the guy. You know, I'm not. So, once again, it's a gambling. I think these are both good pitchers. So, I think I think it's interesting. Colome signed a 1-year $7.33 million contract, and I do like him. I think he had some good stuff. Struggled a little bit at times last year. So I think his value went down a little bit. And the same thing could be with Herrera. Had the injury last year as well. But I think he is a guy who could pitch as well. And he signed a 2-year $18 million contract. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens here with these two. I think they're battling out in spring training. One will be the ninth inning guy. One will be the eighth inning guy. But once again, the leash could be short for either one who starts as the team's closer because the other one's there. They can go to him. So that's the issue. Mm-hmm. That's why they're both tier three closers for me. They're both guys that I do like. I think they're better than probably the most closers out there. But because they're both there, they're both going to push each other. If one struggles, the other will get his chance.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think about the White Sox? I mean, when you look at this team, looks like they really had their – they kind of thought that they might have had a really good shot at Lanny Machado. Have Alonso on their team, who's his brother-in-law, and John Jay is their friend. It sounds like the air was let out of their balloon when they didn't get Machado. What do you think about this 74 over under win total for them? Do you think that they could go over or under?
Oh, they definitely want the Machado. Everything they did the entire offseason was to entice Machado. You mentioned Jay, the friend, Alonso, the brother-in-law. They actually offered him the most money. Now, granted, he would have had to hit a couple of conditions, but they were easy conditions to hit. And they would have given him more money than San Diego in the end, more than likely. He turned it down. And listen, I don't blame him. I'd want to go play in San Diego, too. I would not play in Chicago and freeze my several parts of my anatomy off. You know, so I have no problem with him going to San Diego for that for a little less money, be a little happier. Plus, the Padres have a fantastic minor league system. You wait 2 years, man. This team's going to be damn good. So, no issues with that. But I think you put it correctly. I think that was the air going out of the balloon of the White Sox. You know, I think it was a loss because you just look at the team. I mean,
it's pretty bad.
it would have looked much better if Machado was on it. You know, the infield's iffy. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Tim Anderson, who has the 11th commandment rule, thou shalt not pass without being swung at, doesn't walk enough, mm-hmm. and everybody else in the infield doesn't excite me at all as far as the offense is concerned here. You put it would have plugged Machado in there at short or third. It would have looked better. Castillo at catcher? Okay, I kind of like Castillo. Mainly because he's catcher. I think he's top eight catcher for me. Mm-hmm. Although I would have taken him. The outfield, I mean, yeah, good luck. I mean, just good luck with, Palka, John Jay, and Adam Engel. No relation to Sean. Just not much going on. Alonso is a DH, fine. He might hit 20 home runs for you if you're desperate in a 15-team league. Don't mind that. The pitching staff, it's got some names. It does have some names, so there are some upside there. But overall,
Giolito
wins.
that's too much.
I mean,
in my opinion.
Yeah, I'd probably go the under there as well.
But has this team gotten any better than the team KC? That won 62?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, they won 62 last year. Is this team that much better than the team that won 62 games last year? I don't think so. But you're right. I mean,
I would agree. Not 12 games better.
Yeah, so it's kind of – I'm surprised at this number. So I would take the under, to tell you the truth. I'd have them 70. I could see them winning 70 games.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you. I'll take the under as well.
Okay. I didn't mean to, try to convince you, But that's the way I feel. So why don't we move on to the last team in this AL Central. They actually have some names, though, that have some fantasy value. They're going to be a bad team again, but the Kansas City Royals have some names that you might see on your fantasy team. The one that sticks out, obviously, is Whit Merrifield, signed a very affordable team-friendly extension and 45 steals last year. I mean, it's got a little pop. I mean, his pop came down, but, his batting average, he'll hit for average. He'll help you out there.
Well, you're paying for it. All right, because if you want to get with Merrifield, that's round three, round four. That's where he's going in all leagues. So if you want him, you're going to have to pay up for
him. Again, it's the value of stolen bases.
You're not getting him at any kind of discount. Okay, and for me, the problem is this. All right, yeah, great. The average, we love the average, right? It's a plus average. It'll help you. It'll also offset somebody else. You might take it as a lower average. Joey Gallo comes to mind. And the stolen bases, I think 45, 50, 60 wouldn't shock me. This is another team that's going to have to run, steal bases, be aggressive.
Go Royals.
Manufacture runs. So I think that's important there. My problem is this. What home run total do we believe? The 19, it's over 20 he hit,
right
17, or the 12, 10 he hit, yes. I don't know if that's enough. For a third, fourth round pick, I think you might, you're going to need 20. He's going to have to hit more like 20 home runs to pay off for the price you're paying. So that's my issue with Merrifield, is that I don't trust the power here. I think he may be a 12 home run guy, and not a 15, not a 20 home run guy. And I think that's an issue. Is it worth it? Is it worth it for you to grab that player rather than, six, seven, eight, nine rounds later and go grab Malik Smith? Billy Hamilton, granted, they're going to hurt you in other categories. That's why they go lower. But you can make up for that with better players that you can pick around three, around four. So do you want Merrifield, and whatever player you might get? Or would you rather have a top player, Rizzo, in round three, and then go grab Malik Smith in round 12? Which one do you feel you'd rather have there? I think that's my issue here. And when it comes to me, I'm almost always leaning towards a player like Rizzo, a top player, and then finding my steal someplace else.
Yeah. I mean, there's different ways of calculating his fantasy value, though. I'm talking about Merrifield. Yeah, like I said, he's eligible, second base and the outfield. I mean, he's a guy that has a .293 lifetime batting average, batted .304 last year, so there's value in that as well. Home run power, what do you believe? He had 19 in 2017, 12 in 2018. Figure right in the middle, maybe 15. I get it where you say, is that enough for someone that you have to spend a third-round pick on? But when you look at him, he's a Jonathan VR. He's everything that you wanted Jonathan VR to be. He's like Jonathan VR on steroids, right? And plus, he gives you the multi-position eligibility. So, so basically, you would stay away from him in drafts based on the draft capital that you'd have to invest.
Yeah, I'm not spending a third-round pick on him. There'll be too many other good players I can get there, and I'll find my steals later, because that's really what you're drafting him for. You're drafting with a stolen bases. I'll find my steals later.
All right. We have just about a minute left, but when we come back, I want to continue talking some Royals. We'll continue talking fantasy baseball. Have a second-year first baseman that I want to talk about. O'Hearn, Billy Hamilton. How about Soler? We'll be right back. More Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Got one more segment before we say goodbye. And coming up next on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, catch FNTSY Sports Radio Network's coverage of day two of the NFBC High Stakes Fantasy Baseball Drafts live from the Stewart Hotel in New York City as industry professionals go at it, auction style, vying for $7,000 league prizes and a $150,000 grand prize. The NFBC has paid over $23 million in fantasy baseball prizes during its first 15 seasons. And with that kind of money on the line, these drafts are a great benchmark to use when prepping for your own. Follow all the fantasy baseball action with Greg Sussman, Frank Stanfill, who'll be drafting in the main event this afternoon. Joe Piscopi as well, and former Major League pitcher Brad Ziegler, analyzing the drafts in real time as industry professionals play for keeps, providing you the insight on who you should be targeting on your own teams leading up to opening day. So I happen to be listening to, had an opportunity to listen to a bunch of their coverage yesterday. Great stuff. Like I mentioned earlier, Brad's Ziegler really gives you a nice insight into what it's like to be a major leaguer, and talked about you know, what it's like to deal with these Twitter trolls who come out to you, right? And you know, how the advent of fantasy sports has changed how, and also social media, how individuals can interact sometimes negatively with the ball players, and really good stuff coming out there, and great stuff from Greg and Joe, and wish Frank a lot of luck today. And I know that Matt Modica is in on that lead that he's drafting, so very competitive. So good stuff. All right, George. We were talking Kansas City Royals, the Go-Go Royals. We talked about we didn't talk about Adalberto Mondesi as of yet. We talked about Merrifield, and they got, like I mentioned, Mondesi, Hamilton. Do you think that the three of them, are there enough stolen base opportunities on this team where all three could be viable stolen base options for you come on your fantasy team?
Well, it's going to be like the 80s St. Louis Cardinals, right? With Willie McGee, Vince Coleman, got to run. Just got to run. No choice. There's no power here. And Ryan O'Hearn, okay, maybe. Maybe he'll have some power here. Other than that, who's hitting home runs? I mean, Soler, okay, well, yay. Alex Gordon's really done
it looked like
years.
He had connected the dots before he got hurt last year, Soler. I mean, we'll see, I guess. A lot of
question marks,
I guess.
Again. Right, there's a ton of them. Once again, it's another team that's going to have to manufacture runs. And let's face it, these guys aren't just running for the sake of running. They can steal. You know, they can steal. So Hamilton can run. Merrifield can run. Mondesi can run. And, you know, with the exception of Merrifield, who can hit otherwise, we don't know if Mondesi and Hamilton can do anything else but run. So if they're not going to steal, if you're not going to let them steal, why are they on the team? Right? So they have to run. They just have to when they get on base.
Yeah, you mentioned Ryan O'Hearn, ADP of just about 380 for NFBC purposes. I, you know, kind of like him in a deep league, someone that you pick up late, maybe that could eventually, you know, turn into maybe a corner infield option for you. You know, be some bench depth for you. Last year, 44 games, .262 batting average, 12 home runs, 30 runs batted in, had a 26 K rate. But you know, in this day and age, that's kind of almost like the norm when it comes to these young players, right? But still showed some overall good patience at the plate, 11.8 walk rate, below average chase rate of 23.2, had a 46.2 fly ball rate and a 42.3 hard hit rate. All good signs for some power there. So I'm looking at him as a potential breakout candidate. And, you know, I'm comparing him, you know, to a Ronald Guzman from the Rangers. You know, these are two guys that are into now their second year of play. Guzman, 484 ADP, his 2018 stats, 16 home runs, 58 runs batted in 123 games, just a 234 batting, 235 batting average rate, a 38% chase rate, league average just about 31. Of the two, George, who do you think has a would you want on your team as some bench depth, as somebody that maybe could move into that corner infield spot on your team?
Oh, all right. Who are my choices here again? Let's write this stuff down here.
Ronald Guzman, second year player, first baseman for the Rangers, and Ryan O'Hearn. And you know what? It's O'Hearn. It's St. Patrick's Day weekend. So
just thinking the same thing, right? I'm Irish. Don't I have to vote for O'Hearn here? You know, St. Patrick's Day is what? I'm terrible at the fact that I have to ask St. Patrick's Day is tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow.
Yeah, it's tomorrow.
Yes, yes.
All right. So I'll be wearing green during our show tomorrow morning, the weekend fantasy update. I'll make sure to wear green. This way
me too.
Everybody's happy.
It's a deal.
Maybe have some Lucky Charms for breakfast. You know, who knows? All right. Ronald Guzman.
It would make sense, you know?
I think I'm going to go with O'Hearn. I think I trust him a little bit more. And once again, there's no track record here. All right? So we're really just going on feel here. O'Hearn is somebody I would not want to draft as a first baseman, but I'll draft as a corner infielder. And maybe bank on, once again, you're banking on the power. Kansas City, not the easiest ballpark to hit home runs in, right? Not a home run ballpark, even though they've made it. It's a beautiful park. One of the parks I love to see, but never been there. But what are we hoping for here? You know, I always look at that. What are we hoping for here with home runs? He had 12 bombs and only 170 at-bats last year. All right, that ratio is not gonna stay. All right, that would put him at like 50 to 60, okay? So that's not happening. But we can hope for 30 home runs here. I think that's legit, with an average that probably doesn't help you, but maybe doesn't kill you either. And the RBIs will be, you know, your normal RBIs, 90 to 100 here. So I think you're okay rooting for that. I think that's what I would – if I'm plugging him in, you know how I like to do things. I write down what I think a player is going to do and minus it off my total. So if I think O'Hearn's going to hit 30 home runs, I'd minus, you know, now I need 270 to win the category. And I am writing him down for 30 home runs. All right, so I think he's good there. Guzman, if he faced the Yankees every day, by the way, this guy would kill. He crushed the Yankees last year. Seemed to enjoy hitting their pitching.
I remember that, yeah.
Right, we like the fact that, once again, Texas, ball flies out of that ballpark. I think this year's the last year of that ballpark, too, right? They're opening up another park? I don't understand.
It seems like it's brand new already, right?
Yeah. Right, doesn't
it? It's not that old.
It wasn't that long ago. I guess they got money in Texas to keep building new ballparks. Last year, though, my problem with him is I think the power was legit, but he batted .235. Boy, it's a drain on my average. You know, I think he might only hit 20, low 20 home runs here. So I'm going O'Hearn pretty easily here. It's the average. The average scares me. You know, when I'm drafting a player like this, Joe, my corner infielder, my DH utility player, I'm not drafting a guy that's going to be a drain on my average. You know, that's a guy who has to help and or not hurt in any categories, and he hurts in one. So I think Guzman does have room to grow. You know, I do think he has room to grow here, but I'm going with O'Hearn as the two choices you gave me.
Gotcha. Okay. And Billy Hamilton, based on our conversations, he's not a guy that you would focus on to one category specific in terms of his overall production. And I kind of agree with you in terms of as you go through your draft, trying to get as many players that can help you in multiple categories as you can.
You know, with Hamlet, we know Hamlet's going to steal bases, but that's all he's going to do, and his average probably not going to be good. So he's a guy you look at, man, I didn't draft any steals. I just didn't draft any steals. Hamilton's there. I got to draft him. You know, I have no choice. Unless I'm going to punt the category, I've got to draft him. And let's face it, if you draft Hamilton, you've probably gone from last in steals to at least middle of the pack, if not top five. You know, so he'll help you win that category all by himself. The problem is the other four categories he's going to crush you in. Right? Not going to give you any power. Not going to add you any average. He's going to hurt you in average. He's going to bring that down. Runs he'll be fine in. Right? He'll need some runs as well. So you're taking the good with the bad here. Yeah, you're taking the good with the bad. That's why Hamilton, sort of that last case, you know, breaking case of emergency. And that's what he is for me. He's a breaking case for Bertie. If I'm drafting Hamilton, it means, oh, well, you know, the first 11, 12 rounds of my draft, I drafted no speed at all. None. I got to go with Hamilton then. I'd much rather have a D. Gordon type, even though he's very similar. Malik Smith, I'll take the upside there. It's funny how the bad teams are the ones that with all the speed guys, right? Kansas City, Seattle, because they have to, once again, they have to manufacture runs. This is the only way they're going to score.
Yep. So who's going to be the closer in this team?
All right, the close of a KC, I expect it. Once again, expect it. We don't know for sure yet, you know, because we'll wait to see how this works out here. But I expect that's going to be Brad Boxberger. I think he'll be able to get the job over Peralta, over McCarthy, Diekman. That's what I expect. Boxberger, I think, is the best reliever they have. He has closing experience, so he'll be your closer. Once again, 20, 25 saves for the season. They're not going to win a ton of games. But I think Boxberger is your best bet here. He's another Tier 3 closer, a guy that I think he has a better chance than a lot of these other Tier 3s of keeping the job. But because it's KC, because they're a bad team, not too many save opportunities, and also he'd be prime candidate to be traded if he's pitching well during the season.
Yep. So Royals won 58 games last season. Vegas Insider gives them an over-under of 69.5. Do you think that they are just about 12 games better than last year's version of the Royals?
I don't see how. I mean, no. I'll take the under here as well. Starting staff, Jacob Junis, Duffy, Keller. Actually, Keller's going to start opening day. Ian Kennedy, Lopez, throwing Homer Bailey there. Worst anything for a pitcher ever. Heath, Philmeyer, no thank you. I'll take the under.
All right. So as we close out the AL Central, what are we thinking? Do we think that the Indians could hold on? Do we think that the Twins are that much better? What do you see happening this year?
I got Cleveland winning with division, mainly because I think they're the best all-around team, and I love that starting staff. You know, I don't like their outfield. I think they need another bat. You know, losing Brantley certainly hurts there. But bottom line is Minnesota, you and I discussed it. After Berrios, who do you trust in that rotation? Gibson, Odorizzi, you know, Pineda. I mean, there's a lot of hope there. And when it comes to my pitching staff, I don't like to bet on hope. I love the Indian staff, and I think they have enough offense, Lindor being healthy, J-Ram, that they'll win the division. And it wouldn't shock me. Like I said, I think the Twins can hang on and make it interesting until August. And then it's, you know, things start to build up. You know, so I think the Twins will I think Cleveland might end up winning the division by, it wouldn't shock me, just by 8-10 games eventually. I think it'll be close for a while, and then Minnesota falls off.
Gotcha. Okay, so we've gone through the AL East, the AL Central. Tomorrow morning, we're going to be together on Roto Experts in the morning. We can go over to the AL West and then work our way through the rest of the National League. But in the time that we have left for the show, and keep in mind that coming up next, 12 p.m. Eastern Time, FNTSY Sports Radio Network's got live coverage of day two of the NFBC High Stakes Fantasy Baseball Drafts live from the Stewart Hotel. You got Greg Sussman, Frankie Stanfield's going to be drafting at the main event. Matt Modico also involved in that, so it'll be interesting to see the two pitting against each other. And then Joe Pisapia and Brad Ziegler, former major leaguer, rounding out the broadcast team, did a great job yesterday. But in the time we have remaining, George, let's take a look at a couple of position battles. What about with the Mets and the first base spot? And I'll call him Pete because he used to be called Peter, but he wants to be known is Pete Alonso and Dominic Smith. I'm hearing, you know, that the expectation is that Dominic Smith might get the job. Both have had nice springs. Dominic Smith has had opportunities to win this job in the past. But who do you think eventually emerges as the starting first baseman for the Mets come opening day?
Oh, it's going to be Smith because Alonso's going to be sent down once again. Service time issue. Keep him for that extra year. So it'll certainly be I expect it to be Smith. We all hate that. Mm-hmm. You hope in the new CBA they fix this because it's a joke. All right. I mean, anybody, don't kid yourself. The only reason why Jimenez is going down for Chicago White Sox, service time. Guerrero, if you believe in the oblique injury or not, they already announced they were going to send him down. Same thing. Alonso, same thing. All right. All these teams manipulate service time. And I'm not saying it's the wrong thing. It's certainly not the wrong thing for the Blue Jays and White Sox because they're bad teams. You can make an argument it's the wrong thing for them, wrong thing for the Mets. Because they should be a decent team this year, and they might need that Alonso. He misses 15, 20 games. Maybe you missed the playoffs by a game or two, where Alonso could have helped. Even though I don't think the Mets have ever given Dominic Smith a true chance, I think he'll be a good player himself. But yeah, I think it'll be Dominic Smith mainly because, like I said, Alonso will be kept down. It'll give him a chance to Smith to do some damage, and maybe if Smith plays well, it'll allow the Mets to recoup some trade value that they've lost with this guy.
Another fairly high-profile position battle in Colorado for the second-base position. Ryan McMahon and Garrett Hampson. Recently been revealed that Hampson's been dealing with a hamstring injury. The word is that the Rockies being overly cautious about keeping him out of the lineup. Supposedly should be playing today. I haven't checked their lineup as of yet, but both producing at the plate. According to RotoWorld, they think that Hampson might have the upper hand because of his defense. Could this be a platoon situation, or do you think that they might hand the job to one of these guys?
This is a mess. I mean, I don't understand anything the Rockies do. Why you would sign Daniel Murphy and take away a spot for Ryan McMahon beyond me? You know, it's the same thing when you sign Desmond and you take away opportunities from these younger players you have here. Rockies are a mess because, let's face it, I mean, what if Desmond can't play center field? What if Tapia is playing well and they want to put him in center field? Where does Desmond play? Does he have to go to first base? That means Murphy goes back to second base? Is that even possible? Or, you know, it's a mess. I don't understand what the Rockies have done the past couple of years in their free agent signings. I think it's idiotic. I agree. I think Hampson would have the upper. I mean, when was the last time a first baseman could all of a sudden play second base? This is why this thing in Milwaukee with Moustakas is now going to play second base? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, how is this going to work? Do we just not care about defense anymore? I know we can hit the ball. Everybody strikes out anyway, so we don't care about defense. I mean, wow, just strange to me. Killing Ryan McMahon for me. So I think Hampson gets the job as well. McMahon, it's unfortunate. I think he's good enough to play, but without a DH, without first base being open for him, I think he's getting screwed.
Very good, very good. All right, so we've got, like I said, George and I will be back tomorrow, 8 a.m., Roto Experts in the Morning. Coming up next, 12 p.m. Eastern time, just a couple minutes away, FNTSY Sports Radio Network's coverage of Day 2 of NFBC High Stakes Fantasy Baseball Drafts. You got Greg Sussman, Joe Pisapia, former Major League pitcher Brad Ziegler, Frankie Stanfield's going to be drafting in the main event. Thanks to my man Sean Angle producing the show. Thanks to George Kurtz. I'm Joe Galina. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you, too, for great coverage of the NFBC High Stakes Fantasy Baseball Draft right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.